Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 62. And our focus tonight is going to be on verse 12. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You may be seated. Well, again, Merry Christmas, everyone. And we have been going through a series here at St. John's these past few weeks called Promises of a King. And we've been looking at Old Testament promises that our King, our Lord, has been making to us. But at the same time that he makes them, he's also been promising to fulfill them himself. So before we get to that, I want to talk about one of the most, you know, important names floating around out there during Christmas time. That's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So we know that he was the one, he had the red shiny nose, he guided Santa's sleigh, and we know all of that. But did you know that there were actually 10 reindeer that were pulling that sleigh? Because who used to laugh and call Rudolph names? Olive, the other reindeer. Olive, the other reindeer. Okay. You know that a pastor joke has not worked when people are still sitting in the pews after he tells the joke. They're not leaving. They're not going out the door. Okay, but enough about Rudolph. But think about that. They used to laugh and call him names. Let's talk about names. Names are powerful, right? Names are powerful because names have meaning to them. How many of you know the meaning of your name? Okay, yeah. My name is Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, right? It's a Hebrew name. My wife, Melissa, her name means honeybee. My son Owen, his name means young warrior, and Grace, well, that's kind of easy, you know what that means. But, you know, I'm sure you know your names and what they mean, but that's not the only names that I'm talking about here. I'm talking about those names that have been given to you and to me that they kind of describe, you know, quirks, you know, little habits that you may have, little eccentricities that have popped up in your life. For example, back in high school, I was called Banana Man. Yes, I'm not kidding. And the reason I was called Banana Man was because I was fairly tall in high school. I had a lot of blonde hair. I also used to wear this extremely bright yellow striped shirt every now and then, and the vehicle that I drove was a 1973 yellow Volkswagen Beetle that I could barely fit in. So I don't know, they just started calling me Banana Man, and it was because of all this yellow, and I was like, okay, you make me sound like I'm some kind of superhero or something like that. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Those like nicknames, the names that you get, like Slim because you're thin, or Brainiac because you're smart, right? But of course, sometimes these names are not exactly flattering, right? I mean, even though he is one of the most beloved of the characters in the whole Charlie Brown comic strip, they do not call him Pigpen for nothing, right? He's dirty, filthy, he's got this cloud of dust constantly, and even when they try to clean him up, it doesn't work. He gets dirty right away, you know. They love him, but he's dirty. It's not always flattering. See, that's the power of names, because names can actually give your identity to you. They can actually describe who you are. They can actually describe what you are. So, in our text from Isaiah 62, the Lord is speaking. And he says this, "And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken." Powerful names. And they're not just random names that the Lord is speaking to them. No, these names describe a new status that these people, that God's people, have before their God, before their Lord. In fact, they're no longer being called names like, say, back in verse 4, "You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate." You see, they bore those names because God's people had sinned in a horrible, horrible fashion. They had essentially been a bride that had committed adultery against their husband, the Lord, who loved them dearly. They had sinned because of their rampant idolatry, rejecting the Lord, going after other gods. There was violence and bloodshed. They were enslaving their own people. There was wickedness and evil all over the place among God's people. So they could actually bear the name unholy people, enslaved, forsaken, and forgotten. So you can imagine that these people who were punished by being conquered by enemy nations, shipped into exile to a foreign land that they had no idea if they were coming back, and they were bearing all of these names, you can imagine how overjoyed they were when finally the Lord came to them and said, "Don't worry, no one is going to laugh and call you these names anymore," because they were going to have new names, powerful names, names that would actually describe who they were and what they were. That's how powerful names can be. And that means that's how crippling names can be. Author Mike Iaconelli, in his book Messy Spirituality, talks about a woman named Margaret. And Margaret's life changed one soul-searing day, long time ago, in her one-room schoolhouse, where she was once again late after recess. And she came in late, and her bitter, cruel teacher, Miss Garner, called out her name, "Margaret, you are late again. I have tried everything that I could think of to try to make you a good little girl. Well, I'm going to try something else." And she had Margaret come up to the front of the classroom and stand there. And she addressed the rest of the class, all the other 25 students that were there. And she said, "Children, I have tried to teach Margaret to be a responsible young woman, but she hasn't learned. So maybe something else will teach her. I want every single one of you to come up to the front, to this chalkboard, and I want you to write something bad about her. And maybe that will teach her to be more responsible." And so one by one, a silent procession of children came up to the front. They were handed a piece of chalk, and they wrote on the chalkboard something bad about Margaret. "Margaret is lazy. Margaret is bad. Margaret is fat," and on it went until all 25 had written something down. And Margaret was crushed. She went home and she crawled into bed and faked an illness and tried to just cry out her pain, but it was too much for her. The pain would not go. And 40 years later, after that day, she stumbled into a psychologist's office to seek therapy because, to her horror, all of those bad things that had been written on the blackboard had come true. What about you and me? What would they write on that blackboard? What names would they give you and me? Would they write bad spouse, bad father, bad mother, bad son, bad daughter? Would they write alcoholic, addict, or abuser? Would they write the name one who can't control their anger? One who is always depressed? One who is highly anxious? One who is despairing? Maybe a fellow brother and sister in Christ has called you out and written this name on the blackboard: unholy, uncommitted, unbiblical. Maybe they have written these names on you: the unholy people, the enslaved one, the one that is forsaken, the one that is forgotten by God. And there could be so many other names that they could write about you, that they could write about me. And these names cripple us because they're true. They're true. They describe who we are and what we are: a sinner, exiled from God, in need of saving because we cannot save ourselves. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Why would the Lord give these names to his people, his sinful people? Because of what happened one verse ahead. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And when did that happen? Well, at first, it's when God's people, graciously by the Lord, was allowed to come back, to return from exile, to rebuild the temple and start their life again. But the Lord was pointing to something even bigger: the first Christmas, when a young couple with the names Joseph and Mary went up to a town that bore the name Bethlehem, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son, God in the flesh. And when the Son of God is born in the flesh, he is given a very specific name, Jesus, which means the Lord saves. This baby had come to save sinners. In fact, his salvation that he brings is woven throughout all of the other names that he bears. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But he is not God with us in order to punish us, in order to point out all of our sins and failures. No, he is God with us to save us, to show that he loves us and cares for us deeply. He bears the name Redeemer, Yes, that baby has come to buy us back from sin, from death itself, and from our true enemy, the devil. He bears the name Prince of Peace. And when this baby is born, he gives a peace that only God can give. He gives a peace where God and sinners are reconciled because he goes to the cross. He dies for our sin, and then he rises again to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. When the Son of God is born in Bethlehem and given the name Jesus, it is so that he can save every single one of us that bears the name sinner. So Margaret, after 2 years with this therapist, finally it was the last day. Her therapist had lovingly and sometimes very painfully extracted her from that day. And this was the final time. So she sat down in his office and he said, "All right, it's graduation day, Margaret. How you feeling?" And she hesitated and said, I'm okay. And that's when he leaned in and said, "Margaret, what I'm about to do is going to be very difficult for you. But promise, I promise, it's going to be all right. I want you to, one more time, recount everything that happened. All of the kids that came up and wrote all those things, I want you to recall them, I want you to recall what they wrote, and I want you to recall how you felt." And she took a deep breath and started to name the names and what they wrote, all 25, until by the end she was once again sobbing through tears, until she heard her name being whispered, "Margaret. Margaret, you forgot one more person." "I did not. Are you kidding? I have memorized every single one of their names. I know every single one." "But Margaret, you forgot someone. Do you see him? He's sitting there in the back. And now he's getting up, the last one, and he's coming to the front. And Miss Garner is handing him a piece of chalk. But before he writes anything on the board, he grabs an eraser. And he erases every single one of those things that those kids wrote. And then he starts writing something himself. And here's what he writes. Margaret is beautiful. Margaret is courageous. Margaret is loved." Do you know who that is, Margaret? That's Jesus. He's writing all of those names for you. And she started crying, but then she started smiling. And then her tears turned into joy. Because that baby born in Bethlehem is given the name Jesus, this baby, your king, he promises to you and me, "I will give you a new name. I will call you the holy people. I will call you the redeemed of the Lord. I will call you sought out. I will call you a city not forsaken." Jesus takes every single one of those names written on that blackboard and he wipes them out completely and he starts writing new names. Forgiven spouse. Forgiven father and mother, forgiven son and daughter, forgiven addict and alcoholic and abuser. One who is loved even though they give into anger. One who is loved, even though they are anxious and afraid. One who is loved deeply, even though they're despairing. He writes all kinds of names to you and to me. You are a child of God. You are my disciple. You are my holy ones. These are the new names that you are given because that baby born in Bethlehem was given the name Jesus. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, even if others laugh and call you names, ultimately, that is not your identity. That is not who you are. That is not what you are. That comes from the King, whose name is Jesus, who rejoices and calls you names. Pastor Ben, you are forgiven. Pastor Mark, you are redeemed. Melissa, you are loved by God. In fact, right now, I want everyone on the count of three to say loud, out loud, your name, okay? One, two, three. You are saved by Jesus. Amen.